Hi, I'm Rebecca Cohen.
And I'm Maya Garanz.
And this is The Sauce, the culture and politics podcast where we drink cocktails and ruin the stuff you love.
All right, guys. So we've long been promising you
our origin story.
Rebecca and I were really good friends in high school.
A million years ago.
In San Diego, California, which I gotta say, of all the places for two angry Jewess feminists to grow up.
Right? No one ever believes I'm from San Diego, by the way.
Me too!
Really?
They're all like, you're from California, like Northern California, right? Like yeah. Berkeley, right? I'm like, no, San Diego. And they're always like,
Yeah. What? Literally, the day after I moved to New York, people were stopping me to ask me for directions because I just look like I belong in New York. You know? When people find out you're from San Diego, it's like, really?
I've had friends who are like, I went to a conference in San Diego and I was thinking about you all weekend. I'm so sorry, Maya. Like, they're just like, and it's funny that you say that about New York. I was like, I'm going to college as fucking far away from this place as I possibly can. And so I went to school on the East Coast and immediately I was like 300% hotter. Like all these like really fucking hot God. People it's wanted so to have true. Sex with me. It took me like 2 years to even figure it out.
Yeah.
I couldn't even, I was like, is this flirting? Like I couldn't even, it was amazing.
Yeah, not everywhere is San Diego. Not everywhere is populated by 6 foot blondes who surf all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were these angry, Jewish,
feminist,
explicit feminists. I remember being 12 and being like, I'm a feminist and I'm pro choice. Oh, like I'm 12. Like everybody else is like, I'm playing kickball. I'm like, I'm a feminist. Yeah. And we found each other in high school.
Of course we did.
At Torrey Pines High School.
Yeah. Largely through the drama club.
Yeah. Because we were drama nerds. Oh my God. I can't believe we're sharing this.
I know. Maybe we're oversharing. We bring it up largely because the questions that we've been grappling with on this podcast, by which I mean women's sexual desire for men and how we were and weren't seeing our own desires depicted in popular culture. We were explicitly grappling with at age 15 together.
Yeah.
So one of the things we did, there's so much to talk about. Let's start with the romance novel that we wrote.
You know what's crazy is I don't even remember this. So you're going to have to like tell me.
Oh, God, I'm a little hurt that you don't remember this because, boy, it sticks with me. So I remember the genesis of it. It was my senior year and your junior year, and I was studying for academic decathlon.
I'm sorry, yes. Just in case being drama nerds wasn't enough. We're also nerd nerds. So it was really,
we were across the board to really
nerd it up.
Yeah. So one of the pieces of art that we had to study, because academic decathlon, they give you like a study guide of topics. So one of them was the Tlingit shaman mask. The Tlingit are a tribe in Alaska. And it was a shaman mask. Very interesting. I kind of want to nerd out on the Tlingit culture, but I'm going to skip that. I'm going to resist it.
Resist it.
Bookstore, discount bookstore. And I found a romance novel with, you know, like Fabio on the cover. And I read the back.
This was the peak of Fabio. This was peak Fabio, by the way, in our culture. This
Fabio.
Was peak Fabio.
He was on every romance. Like when I say Fabio was on this romance novel, like that's not saying anything because he was literally
everywhere.
Everywhere. I read the back and the plot was about a girl who gets stranded with the Tlingit Indians. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
I have to buy this. So, you know, I bought it for like 30 cents. And brought it to the academic decathlon team to share the hilarity because it related to what we were studying. But then subsequently, what are you going to do? You have this romance novel and the joke of, oh, he's telling it has passed. And you know, they're not going to get in depth about customs. They're going to, you know, it's mostly just going to be a standard romance novel. So we flip through it, reading the sex scenes, looking for the sex scenes, finding the most hilarious parts because ha ha ha. Who would enjoy such a thing? Let's do it all so ironically.
Yeah.
And then
I
decided that we had to write our own romance novel. And, I shouldn't admit this because anyone who knows us will know who I'm referring to, but, our physics teacher was the lead hero in it. Do you remember this?
No!
The physics teacher. And, we had this whole plot. Like, we wrote the whole fucking thing. It was in the 18th century. I don't know why they have to be in the 18th century, but they do. And the hero was this, like, humble farm boy amateur physicist. And the villain.
Yes.
The villain was, like, aristocrat. I don't know. It was like on the American frontier. So I'm sure the girl must have been from Boston, right? So she comes, she's traveling from Boston, and I don't know why she's at the frontier, but there's this whole dynamic where the villain wants to bed her. And in the scene where he's like almost about to rape her, because that's what happens in romance novels.
That's what happens in these books.
This is what I remember. She like tears his shirt off and reveals that he has this birthmark that she also has, and they're related.
Oh,
they're, like, we had this
nice.
Whole plot twist. Yeah, no, it was like a whole plot. We had the whole thing mapped out.
We did the whole thing.
Yeah. And it was full of sort of ironic puns and funny jokes, but also it was really sexy. And it was us being like, this isn't my sexual fantasy. And you're like, no, this is definitely not my sexual fantasy.
That's like when, oh my God, I remember this one woman who went to high school with after we graduated the summer before I went to college calling me and being like, you want to go to the Pride Parade? I mean, not that I'm like gay or anything. And I was like, sure, I'll go. But like, I don't ever have those kind of sexual feelings. And we were both like, no. Not me, la 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 la. But then we went years later. I run into her, and she's like, "So that whole time, I was like having sex with one of my teammates on this, you know, sports team." And I was like, "Ah, yeah, big fucking surprise." Anyway, so another thing that we did
in high school,
another thing that we did, and I think part of it was this performance of like, "We're gonna fucking own this shit."
Yes,
we're gonna own our horniness.
Yes.
We're going to own our desire. We know that we do not make sense as sexual objects in this bizarre place that we're growing up. But fuck you. We have these feelings and we want a place to sort of perform them in a way that's also like hilarious, where it was going to be like joyful and funny. And so we had this night. We called it Hunk Fest. And it was this like
Hunk
sleepover
Fest.
Night where it was all our ladies, all our best ladies.
Like the whole drama club, really.
It was like, oh God, wasn't all the drama club. It was like 10 or 11. Like it was a lot of us.
Yeah. It was all of our friends, all of our female friends,
all of our ladies, all of our badass ladies. So we all scheduled a whole night.
Yeah.
There were dramatic reading.
That's true. That's right. So it took place. It was at my house because we were moving. So half the furniture was gone. So there was like a lot of open space.
Right.
And everyone came over and we had a lineup of movies. That's right. There was dramatic readings of romance novels.
Yes, there were.
Excerpts. That definitely happened. I remember my mom came home with penis-shaped chocolate lollipops. Do you remember
God
that?
God bless her. Yes,
I know.
Totally.
She's
oh my
wonderful.
God. She was so supportive.
She was great.
We watched Thelma and Louise for Brad Pitt.
Very good memory. We watched selected clips from Princess Bride for Cary Elwes.
We watched selected clips of, oh my God, Tom Cruise fantasy movie. Legend.
Oh,
Legend.
Legend. Oh my God, that's right.
Totally watch Legend. I think both for Tom Cruise and for like Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Well, hot fucking sexy Satan, which maybe none of us were ready to admit that was the real fucking hot guy of the movie. But.
That's wow. I mean, we could talk about Legend. So at the time what I would have said is legend is Tom Cruise running around in a miniskirt and squatting all the time. And it's just amazing. And I'm not saying that's not amazing because you know what? Watch it. If you haven't seen Legend or if you haven't watched it in a while, circle back because that movie has a lot going on.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Tim Curry in that movie and Mia Sara, and he makes her be all goth.
Totally.
Oh my God. Oh, I mean, that great. Like is my sexuality right there. I probably wouldn't have admitted that at 16 or whatever, but.
Well, I don't even know that we, like, I remember the first time my freshman year of college, where my freshman year of college roommate made some reference to the fact that she masturbated, and I realized I'd never even admitted to anybody that
that you masturbated.
That I masturbated.
Yeah.
We did a hunk fest without ever explicitly
dealing
with any of that shit.
Yeah.
Because it was still, there was so much shame and there was so much embarrassment. And I think even being like sexual was not something that girls where we're from.
Well, we also were very young and hadn't experienced a lot sexually. So a lot of it was sort of like imagining what we thought that was, what we thought we were into, because we didn't really know yet.
Totally.
I remember, okay, I don't remember this, but I know from the photographs that we ate large carrots.
Yes, we did. It was like, Let's just perform this. Yes. Let's just
bananas,
perform this.
Anything dick shaped.
We were all about it.
To what extent were we just reversing the performance of male sexuality?
I think we're reversing it because that's what we had. I don't know that there were other options.
That's what was empowering to us.
Yeah, we were performing based on a very limited palette. And I think that the burlesque of flipping it, because I don't think we were flipping it in a serious way. I don't sort of reduce it like, oh, we're just trying to do what men do, because I think the burlesque of flipping it and the comedy of that was a big part of the pleasure.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that the comedy was such an element because it gave us an outlet to talk about as a group and to each other. It gave us an outlet to talk about this stuff where I don't think in seriousness we could have. I don't think we ever could have just sat down and been like, hey, in all seriousness, what turns you on? But when we gave it this like ironic veneer
distance
without having to be too vulnerable about it.
I'm having a memory that's very embarrassing, so I feel like I immediately must share it.
Okay, go for it.
So my senior year, I had this column in the paper because I was also a newspaper nerd. As if drama and fucking academic nerd was enough. Right. I really had to really go for it. And I had this column and I was writing about, it was a moment which was the salt and pepper moment. It was the En Vogue moment. And in it, I write about the What a Man video and about how it's just reverse sexism and it's like women just doing what men do and all objectification is bad. I mean, I'm so embarrassed to be sharing this right now because so like...
You were 17.
I was 17. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I remember our Spanish teacher, Señora Mijares, I remember her pulling me aside and trying to be like, Maya, it's okay for... It's like, it's good for women to express sexuality. Like, I remember her...
She said that to you?
Like, she was trying... Like, I don't even remember, like, the exact language that she used because she was very proper.
Right.
But here was this older woman trying to say to me, being a Puritan is not the answer.
Yeah.
And I think about that with such gratitude to her.
That's lovely.
That she saw me reacting to this sort of sexual objectification in the culture by going to this like Puritan direction. And she was trying to pull me aside and be like, Maya, because clearly I didn't know, you know?
But I think that you were so smart to sort of start recognizing this idea. You know, if objectification of women is bad, why would objectification of men be okay? Obviously, your errors were in conflating sexual desire with objectification.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
And also with this sort of like false comparison where men objectifying women and the power dynamics are not the same as women objectifying men with the power dynamics. But the bigger issue is this idea that is desire objectification? No, they're not the same thing.
That's right. And I think, but I think that that's also part of what's interesting about it is that obviously I found these videos sexy. And now I look back on it and I'm like, oh my God, that world of music was actually so part of this. It was a really hot moment for these women, for Black women specifically, to be like performing sex in this very not self-objectifying way. Mm-hmm, I mean, they looked fucking great, but it's not like they were trying to fit some whatever mold. And actually, it was like deeply inspiring. And I think I was very moved by it. And I think I was embarrassed by being moved by it.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that that's why, like, I had to react against it. Hmm. And I feel like that's in terms of a place where, like, sex is okay if we're trying to get to this moment of enthusiastic consent being what it is. I mean, I got there fairly quickly when I left San Diego, but I feel like in terms of that general cultural world where enthusiastic consent is the world, that's just the world we live in. What's that going to be? How's that going to perform culturally?
Thanks for listening to our reminiscence. If you have your own thoughts about the movies and television programs or other media that influenced you as an adolescent, we would love to hear about it. We want to hear about what you watched or read as a teen that helped inform your ideas about sexuality. You know, whether you're gay or straight or both, male or female or neither. What did you learn about the way sex is supposed to be? Whether it was true or untrue, right or wrong, we'd like to know about it. You can always reach us via email at saucepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter. We're at saucepodcast. You can reach out to us individually. I am on Twitter as @gynostar. Maya is @MayaGarantz. We'd really like to hear from you.